Killer Keller podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Beatbox created.
KillerKeller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
KillerKeller podcast.
That's another podcast.
That's a more in-depth podcast. Killer Keller podcast, live and direct. Central London, central as it should be, could be, one of the, or dare to be, god damn it. Big shout to everybody who's checked out the Kellervision app, graffitikings.co.uk inside the place. And to join us on this fine morning, two gentlemen of a... Three-piece, maybe a hairpiece. Depends where you're situated. In the West End of London, the West Sides is a band that I would say are holding the flag for UK rap combined with ska, reggae, punk in a live format. Don't say I've seen them live and they're fucking great. And to hear that they're in the West London area just tickled me with joy. Big shout out. The Goldborns, Justin, Josh, how are we, people?
How was that?
You want a job?
Oh my god, we need a manager, guys.
Well, I thought I'd set it up because, you know, I think for street culture, there are certain overlooked overspills that are out of fringes of street culture, where often it's like we go down this road of, well, this is the relevant street culture thing now. But the truth of the matter is, there are architects beforehand that you guys are now pushing through, you know, genres and areas of punk and ska and reggae. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That for me, I'm like, yo, that is the buck stops there as far as fucking street culture goes. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's hard. People want to put you in a box. As much as it's great being influenced by different things, I think... For a lot of people, when they can't put something into, this is what you are.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a mad one.
But, I mean, it's been like that for years, you know, especially with labels and, you know, the industry. But I think now, kind of more than ever, if you don't fit one genre, then we're like, whoa, come on. Mm. But I think that's kind of, you know, part of our strength, really, that we have a few different genres, you know. So then we attract a different audience, like from different sectors.
Yeah.
You've got people that are into hip hop, people that are into punk music and ska. And so, yeah, fuck them. Basically. Oh, no, don't fuck them. I mean,
love them. Yeah. Love them. I mean, you know.
We'll change.
Yeah.
You can adapt.
Do what you want.
Do anything.
But that's kind of been the mantra of most artists up until the DIY, the new DIY of things like this, you know, like doing a podcast just in the middle of a vast
studio.
Yeah, it's a vast studio with Playboy bunnies in the back and a swimming pool and yellow M&Ms in the
later.
Yeah. So, you know, these are all things, though, that have become so accessible. But there was a time where it really was the case, wasn't it? You couldn't just be yourself, heaven for fucking bid.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's been a blessing and a curse. I think that's the best way to say it, isn't it?
Well, because we're in charge, aren't we, really?
You
know, we don't have to, you know.
We can make the music we want.
Yeah.
And, it shows all of our influences and...
Define your influences. Like what are your influences?
Well, we're all kind of different. We all come from... Like me and my mate Max, who's the drummer, we come from a more hip-hop background.
Hold tight, Max.
And I think Justin...
I've been in bands for years, you know, learning my craft as a songwriter, doing shows. So we've merged our styles. And it's just worked, really. And then when Max, our drummer, came in, it was like the final piece of a jigsaw. And, it's just that crazy sound live, of a kind of in a hip-hop backbeat with that ska thing and with Josh's Moogie dub bass. It just all seems to work. Should it?
No, I mean, it's quite natural, and we all, you know, it was never intentional for us to be in a band. I know Justin's been in bands, but me and Max, we just make beats and play football and just been out on the roads kind of thing more, do you know what I mean? So it's, and kind of football brought us together.
Yeah.
Really?
And we all known each other since we were little kids.
And QPR, the finest football team in Sheffield Bush.
Me and Justin went to primary school together, and he got me down QPR one time, and
yeah, you were like, it's fucking rubbish, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's the singing, the songs, and the banter. I think that's what really got me into.
Yeah, it's about the culture of Rangers more than the football. It's about
and it's a family. You go around the country. We used to go home and away, so you go around the country watching QPR to places like Oldham and Stockport.
You're proper footy fans.
Yeah, that was
I think you're my first footy fans that have been on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
It's hard to find the time these days, but and the money, but no, we're still...
It's hard to get down there anyway, really.
Yeah,
not without face. Well, hopefully,
but it's a bit weirder, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, these are subject matters that I've... In delving into your music, by the way, hold tight. New release out now, Broken Homes EP.
Come on. By the way, that is Kenny on the front, a famous West London Ladbroke Grove face. Kenny Swindles.
Used to be a stall holder on Portobello, big QPR fan/casual. And,
wicked.
Good mate of the band now. So, famous.
Wicked. Oh, so he's still around, huh?
He's still around. Yeah. Got down to Pig and Whistle, Latimer Road, if you
want to say hello. That picture was taken outside the Pig and Whistle after many a time.
Yeah, exactly.
After about 10 pints.
This is
real.
Yeah, bro. And this is what I find totally intriguing about you guys. You're local to me, local enough. And I actually found out from B-Boy Documents, whole type B-Boy Documents, who put me onto you guys. And your devotion towards the area of West London, like, you know, we're talking Ladbroke Grove here, we're talking Shepherd's Bush, we're talking Latimer Road, we're talking Portobello, all these areas that... It's a radius. For those of you from outside of London or even outside of the UK, this is a radius within West London that has been home and privy to so much cultural diversities, music genres, overspill of all types of art.
Acting, arts, music, everything.
And it's just incredible.
Yeah.
Some of the content that you talk about, the topics that you raise, you know, in light of Grenfell, in light of... you know, the pull on diversity and the social commentary of the days, you know, going back into your archive, which I did, I delved in, I was like, yo, who's these guys? This is fucking great. You know what I mean? Yeah, and it's real. Like, you guys, you walk a very thin punk-esque line of, we're going to say what we think, well, fuck you anyway.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Punk-esque, hip-hop, in a way, is... we are the community. It's like people have said before, oh, you got the community in the video. It's like they're our mates and our family. You know, it's not like we've got in touch with people and come to the area, because a lot of people see it like a zoo. They come down as tourists and kind of like, oh, look at the locals, or look at Grenfell. Do you know what I mean? And it's, we're born and raised there. I grew up in Grenfell and at the bottom of Grenfell and that. So
I think you're also taught to write about what you know when you're a kid and you start writing songs, and this is what we know, we're from here.
Yeah.
And we, you know, just say what you see and write about your backdrop and where you're from. And, you know, growing up, the music was always there in our face. Like, if you walk down Middlesex Road, there's a dub sound system and...
My dad was good mates with people like Lemmy, so I always had punk around to a point.
Okay, I've got questions.
Yeah.
Stop. Motorhead for life. Right. Yeah. Talk. So where did... Because this probably won't even go on the podcast. I've just got loads of questions. So did he used to live on this road for a piece?
Do you know, I was too young. When he was knocking around, my dad was probably in the early 80s or late 70s and... Like, I don't expose too much, but
expose too much.
he used to get his my nan. Like, my nan was his dealer, so he used to tell everyone, get his off.
Fucking incredible.
So I used to have people like that coming round, but I was a little kid, you don't know who they are. Until later on, my brothers or whatever would be telling you, oh, do you remember when Lemmy used to come round? They'll be like, oh, you're too little, because they're 12 years older.
Yeah.
So I never really got into punk music and stuff. I mean, until I was going QPR, and then you'd hear like the Clash
London
playing.
London Calling,
I'd be like, wow, that sounds fucking wicked. Like, what's that? I wanna... And you find out that's the Clash, and Mick Jones is a QPR supporter too.
All clicks in.
And that kind of got me more into it, and you know, the history and, you know, but...
It's like your DNA, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of like a West London thing,
They're very, very, and...
It's like, as a kid, like, you're told stories about the area, like, this is where the Clash used to drink, this is where, you know, Lemmy used to do this. So you learn and you're like, oh god, I want to be part, you know, like, be part of that. And
yeah
you start to chip away and
yeah Yeah, it's a mad one.
Yeah, a lot of history.
And there's, I've got so much fodder we could talk about here. Yeah. Like, there's obviously the carnival side of things, and then there is this Labrook Grove as an area. It was home to like the likes of Hawkwind, and you know that more hipster 70s,
mid-70s proggy.
Mad how that kind of clash kind of came in and created this. It's mad. It was it almost like Labrook Grove was like a front line in my mind.
In many ways, not just a front line, but like a musical front line.
Yeah,
you know, Joe Strummer's first band used to play at the Elgin. Then before the Clash, and that's when he had long hair and he was a bit of a hippie. So it's that merging into punk and, you know, I think punk in a way was born in West London. Well, you know, like in the States, that's where punk really started, but they weren't proper punk bands with long hair and all that. And what are they called? The
Ramones.
Ramones, come on, man. Yeah. You know, it's a London thing, you know.
It was a bit kind of... For me, when I had the Ramones, I liked the speed and the turnaround of songs super quick.
Yeah.
I liked the chord, but there was something about that. It was almost like...
Yeah.
It's just a bit, hey, wanna go, yeah, diner music. Had a kind of diner thing going on.
I think Johnny Rotten said that kind of like rich kids from the suburbs, like in a mum and dad's, you know, garages with a long hair, and it's not punk, is it? It's you know, good band, but... So, you know, West London and, you know, Labrook Grove has always been at the forefront of new music, really.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
and then came the hip hop. The hip hop. I had Scam, graffiti writer Scam, Hold Tight Scam, who's a West London native.
I know, I've seen him up. Yeah.
And he would cite Living Below Hawkwind or above, and he used to be the annoying kid that used to run around them every time they were high. That's mad.
Cross culture, Hawkwind and hip hop starting off.
Yeah. There's people you don't even know who they are. But then the song will tell you, oh, you know that guy is... You know, it was quite an innocent way of growing up, but it was kind of segregated in a way. But I think, like I say, I come from a more hip-hop background, and the hip-hop, reggae, ska type sides, although they kind of got on with the punk, they were quite separate. So I didn't really know all of these punk people, do you know what I mean? And until Grenfell happened, and then I think they started having to bring in the other side of the community more because they had a voice of the street. So then we started getting more opportunities after Grenfell.
Well, because we couldn't really get a gig before that, could we?
No.
You know, we tried to get shows around here, but they weren't kind of, you know, supporting artists from around here. They were supporting artists from out the area. So
that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, there are plenty of...
Lots of good artists coming out.
Man, like Kilburn High Road is just littered with pubs. It's the only, you know, strip that I can think of in West London that you could probably do a crawl like you would in Camden.
Great times in Camden growing up as well.
Yeah, Camden as well.
A few shows in Kilburn in the past,
Back Camden and Kilburn, boy.
The Camden shows can just get a bit much. Like,
I've never done any there myself.
Toilet circuit and
it's more great nights out, but
it's like what I said on the Skinny podcast, you know. Well, we alluded to the fact that behind the Camden Curtain is where the real action kind of still happens, don't it? So when did you guys form? When did this all begin?
Ooh, we've been making music for a few years, just me and you, like in your mum's basement, kind of.
Well, we were in the pub once, and then I played him a hip-hop beat that I made. I've worked with people like Loki and Swiss.
Tight Loki.
And, Clash and Koff, all those type of people when I was younger. And then I was playing him a beat, you know, having a beer. And he's like, send me that over, I'll put some guitar on it. So then literally later on that night, he sent me something. I'm like, fucking hell, that sounds really good.
Garage band.
Like,
mad.
So then, you know, it just, we did that a few times. And then we thought, look, this stuff's too good to not put out there. But then we did put a couple of tunes out, and it was kind of a bit too eclectic for people. So then... after a while, I was in touch with my mate Max. He produces for a big rapper called Hectic around my manor. And I think I said to him, oh, dude, I've been trying to do this band thing. I might play some bass guitar. And he's like, oh, I've been playing drums. His dad's a big drummer, like a jazz drummer.
Nice. I'm
trying to remember his name now. John Stevens, I think. Maybe his granddad. Okay. And so me and Justin were at the Tabernacle one night in Power Square, and I got him to come down. And there was a drum kit there. They just let us use it whenever we want. And he got on the drums. I was like, oh, I didn't know you could actually play the drums. And it was his own sound. It's not like he was copying had like hip hop elements, jazz, a lot of reggae. So when we started playing, we just kind of, it just happened.
It's a bit of a light bulb moment, wasn't it? Be like, because before that, we were using kind of backing tracks and MPCs, and it was good, but live, it's a bit like, you know, people were going like,
because it's quite, it's no swing, it's quite regimented, isn't it?
Boom.
Exactly.
It's still sounding amazing, but it's just not the same as having a real drummer.
The drums changed the whole thing, yeah.
It
just made me play differently, and then you and him clicked with the bass.
And I found like a cheap drum kit on eBay or something, or Gumtree. We went and got it. And then it was just in my mum's bed. Made all our stuff in my mum's, in my bedroom at my mum's. And then I think Mick got in touch, Mick Jones watched us, and he's like, come down the studio.
Mad.
And I was like, all wicked.
How was a casual call from Mick Jones for you?
And we had this gig, wasn't it?
I think it was a gig under Acklam?
It's Acklam Village, Portobello Road.
And it was a rainy Sunday when I was just at home in bed, and then you called and said, you want to do a show in about 2 hours? And I went, not really. But then I came down and it was pissing down.
Everything went wrong that could have gone wrong.
We actually did sound the worst set of our lives.
Really?
And as we were coming out, like, I think Mick and Gary came up to us and they were like, oh, that was really good. That was like great. And we looked at each other like, that was terrible. Like, and they said, no, we loved it. Like, come to the studio. I want you to come down and work with us. Like, so. But before that, I think they got told about us by someone on the Sex Pistols. Yeah. Paul Cookie is the Sex Pistols drummer.
Cookie.
So I bumped into him in a pub. I didn't know who he was. Yeah. I think
he's from around the area, isn't he?
He's Bush.
Hammersmith or Bush. And he was saying something about the Sex Pistols. So I said, one of my dad's old mates was the tour manager, Boogie. And then he heard me. He's like, seeing as you said Boogie, I was the drummer in the Sex Pistols. And I was like, oh, shit, let's have a drink. So we had a pint. Showed him a couple of our tunes, like thought nothing of it, and then he must have told Mick, oh, there's this band called the Goldbournes.
So if we weren't in that pub at that time having a pint, because when he turned up, we didn't know, like, this van pulled up and these old guys kind of came out and we were like, oh, look at these guys. And they said, do you want a pint? We're like, yeah, go on. But if we weren't in that pub at the time, then we might not have got to it with Mick and we might not be sitting here with you.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah.
West London folklore.
And it goes to show, don't it, that doesn't matter where you are in the world, like you've got to be in it to win it, and you've got to be out there.
Absolutely.
You've got to be out there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's like the shittest show. And then the strangest things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you always hear stories like that, don't you? You know, when you watch those kind of Sky Arts, BBC 4, I love them. You know, you really cut your chops on learning how they used to really have to hardcore grind, you know, to get anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you just think, oh, I'm making good music, that'll be good enough, innit?
No, we learned that kind of earlier on.
Yeah.
Like, no, next.
Yeah, trying to get, like, knocking at enemies, doing all these people.
Mm.
And they got all these things, like, unsigned, under the radar.
But it's all.
And then they're promoting people connected. That are already, like, getting millions of views and hits, so there's not really anyone apart from people like Robert Elms and obviously Mick Jones taking us under his wing. Like, it's just all
and you know how it is, like, down here. There's not loads of people from this area who've done well but like to support new music. There's not a lot of, or not from around it, but people that have come here and made their fame from the area, they don't tend to give back, you know. But Mick does,
it seems like he really championed some,
it's just pure. It comes from a pure place.
Mm.
Whereas everyone else, a lot of people, it's just like, it's like crabs in a back bucket or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, they should be...
should be helping out.
Yeah. Especially if you're coming from the manor, like, it's a lot of people taking and giving nothing back.
Yeah, I kind of... you know, I mean, this may come across as spicy, and it's my intention is not, because it happened. And it happened, and I felt kind of bad for them at the same time that it happened during the whole year of COVID. But around here in West London, we were championed as the Brent 2020 of culture. I don't know if you saw that. This was a thing.
I didn't see that.
Brent was seen as the 2020 place of culture.
That even mean?
Well, so each year, the money from the cultural fund gets injected into areas and boroughs across the country.
Didn't see any of it.
Well, you wouldn't, because it was 2020 and everything was locked down, right? So there was no events or anything. You know, so I kind of felt for them in that respect. But at the same time, you know, egos aside, because it's totally cool. And it really didn't trouble me at the time neither. But in retrospect, I was like, yo, you didn't know about it. You guys didn't know about it. And I only kind of I was only drawn to it because somebody who was a friend of mine just contacted me.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, man, so I've been doing this podcast here for the last 3 years. And, like, I didn't even know about it. So, and it's so, it's, I think you're right. It's very selective. What people want you to believe is the the thing they're do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, you know, it's handed out to the right people.
Yeah.
That are usually linked to that organisation in the first place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a weird one, Brent. I didn't hear about all that.
Well, there's plenty.
Again,
like by Maxilla, where we're from, there was all these studio spaces under the Westway. I don't know if you know about the Westway, and it's given to the community, all of these spaces.
Really? So but that's... Yeah,
RBKC have been so corrupt, they've been giving it to people like Pret A Manger, and there was never supposed to be any big places like that. It's all supposed to be for the community and community run, but this RBKC basically took over with the Westway Trust.
Yeah.
And pre-Grenfell, there's all these studio spaces, and they were given all to like rich kids and people that don't really need the funding. Or it was all very... hush, hush.
Yeah.
You know how it is. That's how they do it.
If you walk down through the area now, it feels like that. You see people and you're like, you're not from the area.
Mate, a lot of the most talented people there, you can go to Portobello Green or wherever, they're there smoking crack or doing whatever, but they were the most talented and they didn't get any opportunities. They didn't get given these platforms. But that's the talent, like, if you actually know. And it's sad to see, but it's the same with footballers. The amount of footballers... Growing up, we played at the bottom of Grenfell Tower. It was the only free communal space. It was called Green Pitches. And the amount of best footballers growing up, and they ended up getting...
Doing something else.
Yeah, stabbing someone, going to jail, selling drugs to support their family or to support themselves. And it's just sad seeing all of that talent, all of that homegrown... go down the drain, basically.
Because they're not nurtured, because they're not cultivated.
Yeah, we don't know about these things or about these spaces that are given. Like the people that go to nice schools or their parents are well up, or, you know what I mean, you come from not broken homes.
You know, funding as well. It's like you don't get told about funding.
But a lot of us...
when it ends and you haven't applied for it.
It's your dad's not... My dad was in jail a lot of my life or whatever, so, you know, your mum hasn't got the time to be finding out about these spaces. And she's working two shifts a day or whatever. So it's just, you know, the opportunities are there. I think they're just given to the wrong people. It's like there is people like, oh, there's no money these days. There's tons of money.
Yeah, there is loads of money.
Do you know what I mean?
It's just
kept in a small circle.
Like if you look at the whole kind of music industry in general, they say there's no money left now, but there's a lot of money, but they're actually going like to Brit schools and drama schools and they pump the cash in there, like almost to groom them to bring through the next pop stars that are like Ed Sheeran and like the rest of them. So there is cash, but again, it's been funnelled to the, you know, drama schools, and they go, look, we've got another carbon copy of James Bay.
Is that a security thing? Because maybe there's aspects of maybe there's aspects of Oasis or Sex Pistols that people they don't want to repeat.
They don't want another one. They're like,
which is fucked.
It is,
I remember that band. Do you remember that band, The View?
Yeah, from
In Aberdeen or something.
Aberdeen,
wicked,
Aberdeen. Scruffy little.
Aberdeen.
They don't want none of that. They don't want working class people.
Nice. They don't. They don't. They like the image, or they like to be safe, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you're a little bit too for us. Like, they like people that look like it or whatever, but they're not. It's like the final fake.
But that's also about targets, because they got all these targets to meet, and if they've got this artist that sold loads of records, if they get another one that's just the same, it's going to sell loads of records. And then the general public are the ones going, okay, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Or kids, you know, a lot of.
So what's the, because obviously you've got the new music, and this, you know, for every person that watches this, you've got to check out the Goldbournes, and like, what's your plan of attack? What's your power moves to combat these?
Get them from the bottom, and do them up there, chisel our way up.
I don't know. It's hard. You could easily get in your feelings and start calling out people. There's a lot of people.
I think you're the band to totally do that. Am I?
And it will happen.
Resisted from it.
It will happen. But you know, when you're being really nice and you come to a lot of these people, you bump into an area. It's a small area.
Yeah.
So I bumped into a lot of people. And the first 1, 2, 3 times, you're being nice and humble. Be like, oh, check me out, you know what I mean? Look at this, like, fan of your work. Like, but after the second or third time, and they're not even giving you the
shine,
the moment of day, and you start questioning yourself, you're like, hold on, no, this is actually the best piece of music I've ever made, and compared to especially what's out there, it's frustrating. Yeah, and there's only so many times you're going to be nice, so you end up just being like, end up banning someone from the area. No, but seriously, it's just really, really frustrating because these people bang on about Ladbroke Grove and all of this stuff, and it's like, hold on, like, I think everyone's just getting a little bit, was it a smoke and mirror? Like, so anyway, that will eventually happen, but I think just trying to focus on the music and we've got enough.
We've done everything ourselves as well. Like this, we actually produced ourselves.
Yeah.
We engineered it ourselves. So I think the next step is to work with someone, with like a producer who can take it to the next level.
Because you guys maybe graph as well. Doors. Like you guys, you guys graph.
We've got some connections in the graph.
A lot of like people, Asset or whatever. I knew there's a little kid around here. He passed the other year.
That's right.
Hate obviously passed away and that. There's a lot of graphers we know.
Yeah.
And grew up with, like, we didn't do it ourselves, but, you know, they were on the train tracks. And
was a funny one because we did it, but then we didn't want anyone to steal the idea.
Yeah.
So then we went back the next day.
We painted it.
But then it was gone already. Someone painted over it.
There you go. That's all we're talking about. And then you got Lee Scratch Perry.
Yes.
Woo! Yeah. Like, some serious bits and bobs going on here. Life from the bunker.
A bunker, so, and it is a bunker. That's Mick Jones's studio, and it's very small, about the same size as this. Very hot, there's no aircon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just how we like it.
Sweat dripping down. So
work for your money.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's the best shit. Yeah. And that's the stuff dreams are made of, surely.
It's just boom-tish, just get in. And I think we only did about two takes of each track because we were just like...
Such a rush. In hindsight, would have liked to do each track and not do it live. And
would you?
I think
it's got that rawness because we did it live. But when looking back, we're like, but that's just us.
Yeah,
that's how it is, isn't it?
And I think some people might be like, I don't know, they don't really get that it's live because it sounds like a studio record.
It does, yeah.
So a lot of people that hear it and they'll think that's a studio album. You've done everything on a separate tape.
Did you put live on there as a kind of protective sheen to suggest that because we don't want people to judge us based on the quality of the production more of the performance?
Probably the production, I reckon.
I mean, we're quite proud of our live set. So I think we just wanted something like, we're in a rush, and like I say, it was kind of like, if we do it as live, hopefully people will know.
Because again, I saw you at the 100 Club.
I
mean, I was reasonably inebriated, but I was successfully drunk. But
I was supporting Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols.
Which
and it's
is
just
fire.
Like a sea of, you know, Sex Pistols fans going like that. Yeah. And it was a bit tough, but after a few songs, they were loving it.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of, you know, shit.
They had the hardest beat in the crowd, man.
Yeah, it's true.
That was interesting.
And we've got my good friend, Kaiser, the rapper Kaiser.
I saw you doing track with Kaiser, hold tight, Kaiser.
We've got an EP coming out this month called People Trying to Succeed Daily. PTSD.
He's one of the, in my humblest opinion, he's one of the most honest artists.
Oh man, I was saying yesterday, my favourite pretty much ever UK rappers are Skinny Man and Kaiser. You know, like, I think they're just flawless. Like,
also, he's a nice bloke as well.
Yeah.
Reality music and
always helps.
And he was in my brother's class in school. So he's always been like a big brother to me growing up in the area. And like he's helped me get through a lot. And we made this together. And it's very personal, like all of our stuff. It's our heart. It's like exposing yourself, you know what I mean? Like it's.
I think that's why we don't do a lot of music, because when we do something, it has to be proper.
Yeah.
That's a bit too cheesy. It's got to be from the heart.
No, it's interesting you say that, because sometimes it's like an explosive waiting to go off. And sometimes you don't want to keep on hitting the ceiling with ideas.
Yeah.
You just want to go and explode and then come out and think, that was good.
Yeah,
that was good, done it. That's kind of like how I like to work, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, we get people saying, you know, you should do more stuff, you should put more stuff out, but I don't know, it just doesn't feel as special if we just put something out every 2 weeks. I mean, we could.
No, we don't really have the time. Like, I've got a couple of kids and stuff, we've got jobs, we've got bills to pay. So like, it's amazing going into the studio, and we've got, now you got to this point, you get people offering you to use the studio for free. Do you know what I mean? Like, things like years ago, we didn't have that opportunity. So, because of that, we are able to make more music.
But, he's actually like, you're on the run right now. You're on the ladder of...
It feels
like you're... I mean, Nick, I'm just stepping in. You guys are just being introduced now.
Feels like something's starting to happen a bit more.
Yeah.
I think since we brought this out, it's kind of, you know, people are going, oh, okay, you got tunes. A bit. and you can play as well because it's live.
Mm.
So hopefully if things start to get moving a bit more.
Mm. And I think the authenticity, do you know what I mean? Like really doing what we're talking about, and like our community backs us 100. So a lot of people, if you're trying to be a bit of a vulture, a culture vulture, you get called out.
Yeah.
But there's no one that would call us out because we're really there. Yeah. We're there every day. Like we're doing more for the people, you know what I mean? Do more for others than you do for yourself.
See, real shit. And, you know, this is the real protest music.
Yeah,
this
kind of,
This is the real shit. The West London sound. And you know, local as fuck.
Local lads,
You know what I mean? Yeah, anyone says tabernacle and drums in the same sentence, that's my fucking seal of approval. Yeah.
Well, we grew up here when it was even worse than it is now. And I say worse, I mean... Yeah, it was, you know, it was interesting.
It was one of them places, especially like my brothers and my dad and my grandparents were growing up. It was like, oh, you're from Ladbroke Grove? Oh, sorry. Like, do you know what I mean? Because it was the slums of London, wasn't it? Like, Ladbroke Grove was literally, it was a bomb site.
I've seen the pictures, man.
The stories are the grim, man. My family stories and history is grim, but that's just how it is.
Yeah. And the carnival was just like a playground for us, though, as a kid, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great times.
Just on our bikes,
Very privileged. Yeah. It's very privileged, but it comes from a very unprivileged history, and that's probably the nearest to saying it, isn't it. It's like,
so I think in a way with these tracks, we're trying to keep it going and keep the kind of tradition going of the area before it all gets wiped away.
I definitely
estate agents and
fucking estate,
bougie pubs.
Actually, I can't even get into it. My narrative right here is I'm a conduit. I'm merely a conduit. You know. All is good, because when you put it into the energy of this, then it can only do good. There is a message in each one of the tunes, and I feel like the connectivity, and I think it's only because I'm on the ground and I'm so close to it. I really feel like there is a sound that is part of
West London,
the environment. And I don't know why it hasn't been, you know, taken and run with, or anyone hasn't done it up till now like you guys have for this generation. That's pretty bonkers.
I think with a dub and reggae kind of vibe, a lot of people don't really want to touch it. But I think we're a bit like, fuck it, you know.
Well, someone at NME said about Broke It, one of the songs, it's like, oh, it's a bit too scar for me or something. What are you talking about? Yeah, like what? Because there's one ska influence or the offbeat guitar. You hear the offbeat and you think that's all ska. Like it's a little bit mad. And these are the people that are giving people opportunities. But
it's back to that box thing, isn't it?
Ska,
hip-hop.
And then you get to a certain point, so you get 500,000 views, or you break that barrier, and then they'll be like, "Oh, let's support you."
Yeah,
like, we don't need your support now. We needed your support when we're broke and we got nowhere. Do you know what I mean?
That's
like,
Robert Elms has been great with us, because he actually gets our sound. Like, he gets the whole, you know, West London vibe, and he just supports us, and he's played our tracks a lot.
Explain Robert Elms. So Radio 1?
BBC London.
London, okay.
And he's a West London boy. He's from around here. And he's also a QPR fan, funnily enough, so that helps. But yeah, he just gets the tracks and he gets what we're trying to say in the music. And he's, you know, we've got a lot of fans, I reckon, because of Robert Elms.
Yeah, definitely. We owe a lot to him. His support is... Yeah,
the fourth Goldborn, maybe. You know? It's helped out a lot.
That's what happens when you find a fan that's like super on it.
Definitely.
So, good on Robert.
So, what's the plan with this? Now you got this. Now this is popping. What's the plan? What's the plan?
We got some new music coming, and this time it won't be live because we've been there. And that was interesting, trying to sort out a live EP. So yeah, we got some new tracks that we think are even stronger than these. We're hopefully going into the studio with a producer. We can't really say who it is yet, but he's proper. So yeah, we've got some new music coming. Hopefully going to get it in more people's faces. Same old thing, you know, talking about, you know, where we're from.
Yeah, more political. Go hard. I just feel like, why the fuck not? Well, you know, throw out the pole and see who salutes it.
I mean, you know, like, it will scare some people away, but you know, who cares?
Well, they're already away.
Exactly. In fact, they're so far away, they'll come back.
Boomerang back around. Yeah. Like,
you have some people who get a bit scared because of what we talk about. Like, either robbing or selling drugs or like the new one. And they, I remember someone, I won't say any names, but they were like, oh, but about changing the lyrics because of what you're talking about. And it's like, yeah. No, like, we're not, just because it's not going to get radio play or something, yeah. We're not going to change
radio the song. It's not like with the B and...
Yeah, it's no compromises. And now, don't get me wrong, like, I'm tired of working my ass off as a gardener and everything, yeah. But making the best music's more important, do you know what I mean? Yeah. You start changing the lyrics to try and get on radio. Safe, it's like, can't really start doing that.
But, well, big shout out to Doc Scott, drum and bass, Metalhead's original. He was touring the States, and the compromise, there was none. He was like, no, because if we started diluting drum and bass before it's even got over, you wouldn't have a culture like you got now. And it's the same thing with any music.
Well, it's made you say metal. It wasn't Goldie part of metal. He posted up our video.
Yeah.
And then got us like hundreds of fans and views. And I'm like, mate, thank you so much.
Like, people like Goldie get it, don't they? Because he's real.
Kind of, it makes such realness. Like that means more to me than do you know what I mean, getting all over radio.
That's my man. And he actually supported three shows with Sex Pistols at Brixton Academy. It was him and Scratch shows. Perverts. Yeah.
Wow. It's a bit random, isn't it?
It was
Sex Pistols. Wow.
And very similarly to your Glenn Matlock. There was a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Poor guys, it was almost like,
God, those shows were a bit mad. They didn't have a Sex Pistols one to Brixton.
Watched them on YouTube. I've seen them. Great.
Oh, like a riot, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a Steve Jones fan as well. Like, I'll listen to the radio show.
He's great, isn't he?
I'd love to get in touch with him. Jones. Is he in America, LA or something?
I'm sure that's relatively...
Jonesy's jukebox.
That's it.
Yeah, if you're there having drinks with Paul Cook, I'm pretty sure that's not too...
Yes,
something we should do. We
should try and ask more,
isn't it? Yeah.
Give me the phone, I'll call.
Shepherd's Bush boy again.
I'm telling you, man. And next thing you'll be going out to LA and just being on a radio show.
Imagine me,
Jonesy Jukebox. Yes, these are all known.
Come on, Jonesy. Although he's a Chelsea fan, but that's all right. We're still friends for now.
And as far as hip hop goes, UK rap through and through, you saw me play a Deal Real.
When I was a kid, I was the youngest one there. I was like 12. A couple of my mates, we used to go down, and we were the kids like Doc Brown be hosting.
You'd be
on stage, Loki. Loads of people, Manage, a couple of people like that.
Oh, hold tight, Manage.
I've forgotten a lot of names, but there was some wicked nights. I think Mos Def came once, Klashnikov packed it out once.
It's hard to think it was free.
It's free and it was about half the size of this place, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it was like on another level like Carnaby Street.
Kanye West jumped in and with A-Track.
There for that.
That was some...
great nights, mate. It was
bonkers.
That was, wasn't it?
Listen, boys, thanks so much. Bella Pepper as well. These boys ain't playing. You can get it online, right?
Only in Ladbroke Grove at the moment. You will be able to get it on Amazon in the next month or two and that. But got proper labels. But if you're ever in Ladbroke Grove, JD's Caribbean, Portobello Shack, mainly just look out for the Caribbean shops and that. And most of them.
This is all me.
Hopefully Justin will do a theme tune for it soon. We'll do it together.
Something there.
Yeah, but it's very hot, but if the flavour's worth
it. I'm all about that, man. Listen, this is proper local business, all right? West London's finest.
Come on.
Trust me. You are. Go check it out. The Gold Bourne's are in effect, all right? Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you, mate.
Wicked.
Thank you.
Jay. Hold tight. Big shout out to Max as well. We are letting ones out of fashion, people. You stay lucky now. Killer Keller Podcast, struggling with great vengeance. Don't talk to anybody I wouldn't. Peace.
That was good fun.
That's right.
We should do more though, shouldn't we?